You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Get It Right, Texoma, with the trio, Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sorala. We're very happy to have you with us once again. We welcome you. If you're watching us on YouTube, thank you for doing that. Or if you're listening on iHeart Podcast or Apple Podcast or Spotify or whatever other
platform. Yeah, we're right next to Rogan on Spotify, right?
Yes, yes, we are. Well, we're number, we're like number 78, but we're there. We're on the same list. We're just way down
the list. I was going to say the same list. Yeah, I don't think so.
78,000.
Well, anyway, I'm trying to make us feel better about it here.
Anyway, we've got to be truth in.
Anyway, this podcast brought to you in part by Eddie Hills Fun Cycles, 401 North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls, eddiehillsfuncycles.com, MacTech Solutions, 4020 Ray Road, Suite 3B in Wichita Falls. We are recording this in the MacTech Solutions podcast studios. MacTech-Solutions.com is his website. And also by Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop, LPSweet.com online and also on Facebook. Just look for Lolly and Pops. That's L-O-L-L-I-E and Pops Sweet Shop.
Let me say this, that if you would like to get a podcast going, I know a guy that's been knows a little bit about that kind of thing. And we have the facilities here, and so we might make a deal.
We could make a deal.
Yeah, that's right. Help you out.
So. We're gonna deal.
Make a deal behind door number three or whatever.
Well, hey.
Well, we have a very special guest with us.
I'd say so. Yes.
And if you're watching, you've already seen him.
Yes.
He's over here.
He is the
I always wanted to do the weatherman thing. he started out over here and he sat down over here.
Unfortunately, we don't have a green screen for him, but anyway, we do.
Well, it's over in the other room.
We could do something there. But he is quite the local legend, Mr. Skip McBride. Skip, how are you, sir?
Doing great. With all this rain, people like me, even though I have nothing to do with it.
Well, I don't like you right now because I haven't had a chance to mow on the weekends. I don't have time during the week, and doggone it.
So
we're still going to blame you.
And it's been raining every weekend.
Well, and I need to mow again. And then what happens? The drive belt on the mower breaks, and my push mower won't start. So now it's like, okay, so now I've got to go buy a new belt for the riding mower. You know, so yeah,
well, really what you need is you need a high quality Hustler mower from Eddie Hills Fun Cycles.
There you go.
Zero turn Hustler mower from Eddie Hills Fun Cycles.
And the biggest engine you can get, so it gets through all that deep grass like I have right now.
We ain't afraid of a shameless plug, y'all.
No, absolutely not.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. But Skip, I gotta say, my friend, you are you're a living legend around here. You really are.
Well, I guess that's one way of putting it.
You are. I mean, you are. Well, seriously, you have the distinction of never being able to go anywhere unrecognized, for sure. Everywhere you go, they know your voice and they certainly know your face.
It's fun. I've had a lot of fun through the years. You know, I was in the Air Force for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Harry was in for a long time.
Yeah.
And how old were you then?
20 years. Yeah. 20 years, 24 days.
No, I got to ask.
I was 20 years and 3 days.
Oh, okay.
What rank were you? What rank were you when you exited the Air Force?
What rank?
Well, what did you retire?
Master.
Master. Yeah. And so you were what?
Yeah. Master.
Master?
Yeah. Yeah.
So y'all don't technically have to salute each other then, is that? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, we don't have to salute each other.
No, we don't have to salute anyway. We only have to salute the officers. And they have to salute. Here's the thing, though. They have to salute back.
Yeah.
They're required. So when we do it, of course, we're required to. So we're really initiating it, and they work for us.
Ah, okay.
You didn't hear that.
You know, I will say something about meteorologists that I think they have, what meteorologists and presidents have in common.
Uh-oh.
They get credit for things that they have nothing to do with. Okay. They get blamed for stuff that they have nothing to do with.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true. Yeah. You think about it. You hear about presidents all the time talking about the economy or taxes. There's not a president in the history of the world that's raised or lowered taxes. And there's not a meteorologist in the history of the world that has made it rain or not made it
because
rain.
Because they're not all gods.
Yeah.
Well, there are times when you do cloud seeding and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, but you didn't do the cloud seeding.
No.
That's what I'm saying. There's not a meteorologist that made it rain. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, and speaking of
being in weather is you got to be wrong. You've got to be willing to be wrong and still go out there and say something.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because it's like
said, trying to set expectations.
Well, you know,
it's
I think
sales. The best salespeople in the best salespeople, doesn't matter what industry you're in, the best salespeople average about 20% closing rate, which means you fail 80% of the time.
Yeah. That's true.
Which is, this is true. You put it that way, and it's the same type of thing. You have to go, okay, well, this one's right. You forget about the pass, and you move right on.
Look at baseball.
Yeah.
You know, hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first started in weather, I was an observer, and, of course, the forecasts are totally different. He writes the forecast, and I could never understand why the forecaster would go, darn, mess that up, got to do an amendment for the forecast, and it didn't bother them. You know, they didn't have any. Then I became a forecaster. Understood why, because you have no control over it, just like you said.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, speaking of Skip, if you're friends with him on Facebook, you know he does a weather report when it gets kind of starts getting a little bit interesting out there, and he'll tell us ahead of time. I mean, he still continues in his own right and just to have fun on Facebook.
That's it. It's fun.
Yep.
People, I try when I do things like that, I don't try to write a forecast.
No.
You know, but I'll give general ideas. I did a thing yesterday about what was happening. And then you step back and say, okay, let it happen.
Yeah.
Well, and that, it has been. Do you know that since January, we've had 14.04 inches of rain at Shepherd.
And it, what's
the
normal?
Average is 7.23.
So we're double.
But it seemed pretty wet last year as well.
It wasn't this wet.
But was it more than average last year?
No.
It really wasn't.
Well, at the end of the year it was, but not
I'm talking about during the spring. Because I remember not putting my watering apparatus out to water my trees until early June, because it seemed like March, April, and May were fairly wet.
I think it was a case of not like we've had. I mean, we've had 9 inches since March.
Right.
Wow. We didn't get that. What we got was an inch here, an inch there, like a week or two weeks
So we would
apart.
we would have rain often, just not the volume.
Right.
Okay.
Well, at the end of last year, they were talking about El Nino. Is this a function of that El Nino?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And El Nino now is tapering off. It's going to neutral. And normally after an El Nino, you have La Nina. And that's when it starts getting drier.
El Nino, by the way, for our non-Espanol speakers, means the boy child, and La Nina means the girl child.
So what are some of the interesting things that you noticed out of our big drought years ago that we got out of in 2015? Wasn't it 2015, May? We got 1 month. And
I had a young man that had muscular dystrophy, and he wanted to go into weather. So they asked me to come out to Holiday to present him the Hero Award. And I told him, I gave him the greatest advice you can get. When you're in a drought, and you've been in a drought for 5 years, all you have to do is retire. And the rains begin. That was the year. We had 17 inches in the month of May, and it took care of it.
And it was, and I think we had talked about it a long time that on the radio that you know, when we get out of it, it's going to be all at once. It just, that's what it felt like. It's just been waiting and waiting, and that's what happened.
But that always seems to be the way here. You know, we get, first of all, we get most of our rain we get in the form of these big storms, don't we? These big heavy thunderstorms that will dump large amounts of rain in a short period of time.
Yep.
That's how we get most of it.
March, April, May, and June are wet months. By the end of June, it goes into the summer cycle, and then you get air mass thunderstorms that pop up in the afternoon over here in Archer County and Young County and Clay County and north of the river, but they're not concentrated like they have been the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've talked about how it kind of feels like When Trey and I were growing up here, this was the epicenter of Tornado Alley, basically. And we talked about how it looks like it's kind of shifted north and east of us a little bit.
Well, Tornado Alley starts here the middle of March, and it progresses northeastward to New England through May, June, July, August, September. Mm-hmm. And then it turns around mm-hmm. and comes back mm-hmm. so that the next year it starts again in March. So, yeah, it does. If you watch it, it progresses to the northeast.
Yeah. Right.
And it'll get up in.
But I don't feel like we have. To me, it feels like it was stormier, if that's a word, when I was a kid here. When I was growing, you know, 45, 50 years ago, it feels like it was just a stormier pattern here.
Well, you had two major tornadoes in Wichita Falls in about within 20 years, right?
64 and 79, and then almost 15 years, almost to the day.
Right. Yeah. And then it seemed like. Of course, we heard about it a lot. Part of that is our perception as well, and we were kids. But then you start to see the next time you have major tornadoes in this part of the world, it starts like in Norman. Mm-hmm. It was, about another 20 years later, and then you hit – Norman got hit like twice in about 5 years or a short period of time.
Well, more.
And then Joplin, Missouri was starting to get hit.
Yeah.
And it seemed like we still had tornado watches and some tornado warnings, but it seemed like the more severe weather was happening up in that area.
I don't know how more Oklahoma's not just one giant trailer park as much as they get hit. Yeah. I mean, you know, why build anything? Just have stuff you can just move out of the way when the tornado's coming. Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud, poor Moore, Oklahoma. It felt like every other month there for a while they were getting hit by something. And there was a map I looked up, and I think it was a NOAA map, that showed it was of the tornado paths through that area over a period of time. And over like a 20-year period, there wasn't much more than just a few miles variance in where those tornadoes through Moore were going. They were almost following the same track every time. Is that normal? Is that?
Yeah, kind of. It depends on what's happening aloft,
uh-huh.
not on the surface, because the tornadoes occur up here, not on the ground.
Right.
And, yeah, it can follow a pattern because the upper level pattern, the upper winds, tend to do the same thing every year.
Yeah.
Like for us to get moisture for severe thunderstorms, we've got to have the Bermuda High, which is off of Bermuda, progress westward and get into the southeastern states, Alabama, Georgia. Then we have to have the cold air from Alaska, the Aleutian Low, pump this moisture down the front range of the Rockies. And the Gulf moisture comes up, cold air comes down, and they meet. And that's the dry line that we get every year. And it happens every year because of the geographical setup that we're in.
Yeah. Bermuda High sounds like it should be something to schedule one drug deal.
Bermuda High.
Hey, real quickly, before we get too far, give us a little bit of background about yourself so our listeners, because I know we all know kind of a little bit about you, but you grew up somewhere else and you came here because of the U.S. Air Force, is that correct?
I grew up in Brownwood, was born in Temple, grew up in Brownwood, graduated from high school.
My family's from that area, from Central Texas, Bell County.
Yeah,
all of my family, my parents were born in Bell County, and all of them were born in Scott and White Temple. My mother graduated from Scott and White Nursing School in the 60s.
I was born down there.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, yeah, interesting.
And then grew up, graduated from high school in Brownwood, and went to Tarleton. And when Kennedy was assassinated, I went home, and my mom said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I quit school. And I was going to be a game warden." And she said, "What? Get to school." I said, "No, I quit." She called my dad. Dad came back and said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going in the military." He stuck his hand out and said, "Congratulations, you're growing up. Now let's decide what you're going to go into."
Oh, wow.
And turned out it was the Air Force. And when I went through basic, they said, as you know, Terry, they go, "Okay, here's your job you're going to have." Said, "You're going into weather." "Hey, that's cool. What's weather?" Yeah. And probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
Absolutely. Yes, it's
So you were the whole year.
I was in Tornado Alley in England.
Okay.
It was the Y Valley. They had one in 1960 and one in 1903. Tornadoes, and that was their Tornado Alley.
Wow.
Right. What's
what part of England is that in? Just out of curiosity.
That is in southeast. It's just north of London.
Okay. My wife's from that area.
Oh.
She's from Essex.
So, yeah, and so is it true that there's been a tornado in every state in the Union? or not? Or is that?
I think yes.
Including Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah. Okay. No, they get hurricanes. They don't have.
We think they might see a tornado after a hurricane, or hurricane, or tornadoes come out of hurricanes at times.
Actually, not very often.
Oh, really?
Because the hurricanes are so strong,
right,
that they don't give the thunderstorm a chance to produce a tornado.
Okay.
Interesting.
It's mainly rain. Right. I don't think there's any state that hasn't had at least one.
Right.
And maybe not very strong.
Right. But something, even if a wind gust.
We take the record down here.
So you started, yeah. Got in the Air Force, you traveled around, you end up in Wichita Falls. Is this your final duty station? Is why you?
Yeah, okay. I was in COIC of the weather station out here for 2 years.
And that's non-commissioned officer in charge, by the way. For those who don't know what NCOIC means.
Oh,
non-commissioned officer in charge.
Mm. So I got a phone call one day, and I had only been here like 3 months. And it was the news director at Channel 3. His name was Bill Overman.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, can I talk to your commander? And I said, well, he's not here, sir, but I'm the ranking NCO. Can I help you? And he said, you know anybody that wants to go into television? And I said, dang, I'm due to get out in about 13 or 14 months. I said, that'd be interesting. He goes, come back and talk to me. So I went home and told my wife, and she goes, go talk to him. Didn't hurt anything. The only thing I had was a purple corduroy pantsuit with a bright yellow turtleneck sweater.
Now, what year was this?
83.
So it was a little bit out of date, but not too far
out of
date.
Not too far. Well, in the Air Force, you really don't have to have real fancy clothes.
Exactly.
You know? A purple corduroy suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That would have been in style in 1978.
Was your nickname Huggy Bear?
No, he got that from me.
Where do you think they got the character?
So I went down and talked to him.
Huggy Bear.
And for 3 months, I did just practice because I had no idea. And I went into January of 83, and I worked 7 days a week for the last year until I retired in 84, January of 84.
Wow.
And they kept me on.
Wow. And so, just an FYI, I graduated high school in 83 and then went in the Air Force in 84.
Yeah.
So
that
just,
hurts.
Yeah, well.
y'all were actually serving at the same time.
But here's the thing, though. Since you retired, that's been 40 years then since you retired. Yeah. It's been 20 this year for me, and I can't believe that. And I think
– No, it goes so fast.
You're like, no, I'm not – no, that can't be. And 40 years for me for high school and 60 years for you, I guess, right?
Well, I'll be 81 on the 22nd.
Well, it's funny because we were talking earlier because Mike and I went to school with Skip's daughters, her oldest daughter particularly was one grade ahead of ours, and we were talking about it, and I said, how's she doing? And he said, well, she's a grandmother. And I was like, how's she a grandmother? And I think, well, you dummy, you're a granddad. You're the same age, so it makes sense, right?
Well, here's the thing. You're going to be 81?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and I mean this sincerely. Dude, you don't look 81.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me about that the other day. He said, how can you keep the look you have and be 81? I said, my entire career, I was indoors.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't like the average working individual who has to be in on a tractor or has to be out all the time exposed to the sun. And I guess good genes. My parents were very young looking.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
No major vices or anything, huh? You just clean living, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Air Force 20 years, clean living.
So I have a bit of a story to tell you, and you, and you'll I don't know if you'll remember it. So in 2019, right in November 2019, my wife and I went on a cruise with Carnival Cruises down at, out of Galveston. And so during the cruise, they have, apparently they, this is a common thing, I guess they have a little veteran get together. Mm-hmm. And so they invite all the veterans and we're in their main theater or whatever. And so we're up there and we're, they want to do a picture. So they had this one World War II veteran that was there. So we all took a picture with him. And then right after that, as we're kind of dispersing, now I back up for just prior to that picture, they gave everybody a chance to talk and to say where you're at and all that. And I had said, well, I'm in Wichita Falls and Shepherd Air Force Base. I retired and blah, blah, blah. And then, so after the picture, a gentleman comes up to me and says, you probably know my brother. And it was Skip's brother.
Oh, wow.
Oh, now, that's cool.
Then that alone would be pretty cool, right? Yeah. Just happened to be there. Yeah. And not only that, sometime during, I don't remember the order of all this, but sometime during the cruise, a gentleman, during that get together, we're going around and I saw this other guy and I'm like, he looks familiar. And it was my the major that I had at my squadron in Blytheville Air Force Base. He used to be a B-52 pilot, Major Tolar. Wow. And then again, if that wasn't enough, there in an elevator, I'm coming out and I see a gentleman I worked with here at Shepherd.
Yeah. It's that crazy. Gene, it is weird when you travel.
Gene Strouth.
Yeah, you travel a lot, you get that. I mean, I've bumped into people all over.
But it's the craziest thing. But in one three vacation people. Like yeah. that, that was crazy.
It's just evidence of how small a world it really
two
is.
Two of them from Wichita Falls just happened to be in Galveston on that cruise.
Yeah.
And then seeing his brother, another Wichita Falls connection.
Yeah. And he's from Houston.
So. Yeah, that was a very interesting thing.
You know, the station used to send me on vacations, and we would host people. And the strangest thing that happened on our trips like that, where we were going down the Rhine, and we're just cruising along, and everybody's having fun, and I hear this, hey, Skip, we had 35 people in the cruise, and I'm turning around looking at them, and they're all looking, hey, Skip. I turned around, and there's four people sitting there right over here, and they went, what are you doing here? And I said, well, on vacation. He goes, we're from Lawton.
Oh, wow. People that watch you on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool.
Well, all your years on television, I mean, is there any one particular moment that just kind of stands out for you as the?
Oh, yeah, the very first cast I had to do.
How was that?
That purple suit, was it?
Yeah, thank goodness the weather was halfway decent, except that it was snowing in Kansas City, because this was January.
Uh-huh.
It was snowing in Kansas City, and they were talking about snow flakes the size of pancakes.
Oh, wow.
That was the report that came out. And I went, Kansas City is getting snowflakes the size of pancakes. Now, I don't know about how big your pancakes are, but my...
Yeah.
And the people behind the camera were going, they'll never make it.
That's funny.
But that was the big one.
That was the big one.
Well, and of course, you had some of those nights where the weather was just horribly bad and you were on the air. You had to go there and kind of babysit the whole thing, and we're on all the time. So I guess you, over your career, you pulled a number of all-nighters.
Oh, many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
I think the worst weather I saw then was the station is a Quonset hut, mm-hmm. part of it. And the winds were going like 95 to 98 miles an hour. Wow. And I'm standing in there looking at the camera, and right here, the roof is coming like this.
Wow.
I'm watching lightning and rain come in through the roof.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't go anywhere because I was on the air. I had a mic on.
Yeah.
We lost everything except my audio. Mm-hmm. And that was scary.
Wow.
Just to actually see lightning going.
Right. So now you were on the dedication for the Wichita Falls? Or were you around then or not? The new Wichita
Falls.
Yeah, right. Wait, tell us about the story about the water and in the falls and all that stuff.
Well, we had tremendous rains, mm-hmm. and the river was, how do you say, slightly colored. It was red.
Mm-hmm.
And Willard Scott came down, and they did the dedication.
From the Today Show.
The Today Show.
Yeah.
And in order to make it look halfway decent, they put fire trucks in the cemetery up above and ran hoses down and gave the falls the color, proper color.
Mm-hmm.
And when we, I got to go with Willard. It was neat meeting him. The guy is just an amazing individual.
By the way, I think the first Ronald McDonald, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Yes.
And aha, little trivia there for you.
Okay, I got one for you. He went by the nickname of Rip Tear and Rip Reed. And he did news in the morning, and he would come in, and he would rip the teletype and read it. So he went by the name of Rip Reed.
That's funny.
So he could do
That's
that.
That's funny.
So when he came in, I got to be hosting him. So it was really cool because he was in B.C.
Yeah.
And we came up at like 6:30 in the morning, and there were people all over. If you know what the falls is, they were all on that walkway, mm-hmm. and they're all gathered around, and the limo pulled up, mm-hmm. and I got out first. And they're screaming, the little women, it's Willard. And somebody in the back said, is it Willard? And they said, no, it's only Skip. And they went, oh, fine. And then Willard got out, and it was like a madhouse.
Pandelirium.
Yeah, oh, it was.
His
roadies. He was an awesome guy.
How many jars of Smucker's Jam did he autograph while he was here?
By the way, just for our audiences, if you're not from Wichita Falls, we do have falls. But they are artificial falls.
Yeah.
The real falls, there is an area dedicated to where the original falls were, and they were taller than they are now. Yeah. They were washed out after a flood.
Yeah.
Some of our founding fathers had some schemes back in the day, supposedly, and dammed up the river. But there is a dedication that's actually down the river a ways. But they did build in 1980, I guess four, built some falls that are large, and they're right on the interstate. The interstate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 287, 281, and I-44 converge in Wichita Falls. Yeah. So if you're going through, you can see the falls.
And you ought to pull over and stop because there are bricks there. People help build
it. Sure, absolutely. Yes.
And their names are on the bricks.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, that's a neat thing to see.
Well, something about the red water in the river and the red dirt. I did the Thor one year. And they take you in through Lucy Park and all that, and you end up in the river for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with, red mud all over me. So mm-hmm. then at the end of the race, I'm all muddy. And Lucy, my wife, she picking on me, doing something. I forget what she did, but she ended up – I had to hug her because she was picking on me. I mean, of course, you want to hug your wife. But anyway, she has blonde hair, and I had mud on me. And some of the mud got on her hair, and it stained her hair – yeah. Permanently red, not all of it, but just a portion of her hair. That's how pervasive, I guess, this red dirt is.
Well, it can't around be. When we used to go to the Red River and go swimming in the Red River, we'd skinny dip. We'd take our clothes off.
Right.
Because if you got there with your tidy whities,
they'd
come out.
Right.
Yeah, but tidy
but it's one thing, but to get hair.
Careful, Trey. You're stumbling into some.
That was the thing that got me. I had
dyed it. Just think, people could have red hair. All you could do is
dip it into the Red River. Yeah, and not Red River, but the Wichita River.
Were you any of you there that morning
for the
that we were, did the live shot?
Oh, I wasn't.
I was in school.
They were, so we were all, I was legally obligated to be in, what year, that was 80?
80.
What month?
85?
85, I believe it was.
Yeah, we were junior.
85,
So I was probably in Blytheville, Arkansas.
Kids.
Now, Willard wanted to talk about what the river looked like.
Yeah.
And there was a canoe there that had the Texas flag and the U.S. flag and this canoe. And Willard said, now they've got cameras, directors, everything there. Mm-hmm. And Willard goes, hey, turn the camera around and show that canoe. And turn the camera around and show them the canoe. Turn the thing around. They spun it around and they got to see it. And everybody got to see. They're waving the flags.
Uh-huh.
It was fun. He ran things.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Now, you spent your whole career on the NBC affiliate TV3 here in Wichita Falls, correct? And how many years were you on there?
32 and a half.
Wow.
32 and a half years.
Actually, not quite 32 and a half, about 31 and a half.
But still,
not
many people in media spend their entire career at a single station.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often, and people move a lot in media.
And because I think people that want to be a reporter, want to be anchors, they want to move up.
Yeah.
I had my career.
Yeah. Right.
Carrie and I, we were in the Air Force. That mm-hmm. was our career. Mm-hmm. And I just did it because it was fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I, Sheila and I, decided that when it was no more fun, we'd retire. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in 2014.
Now, you got to do a goodbye show, though, right? You knew you weren't just there one day and then gone the next. It was a it was a whole goodbye mm-hmm. show, which that's very unusual in radio.
Yeah.
It's very
yeah.
typical. Nobody yeah. does your goodbye show.
Yeah,
it's there. You're there one day and then the next day yeah. you're gone.
Yeah, you actually filled in for a little while after, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I had to come back because the guy that took one or two of our spots quit, and there was only one weatherman.
Mm-hmm.
So they called me and they said, would you come back and fill in until we can hire somebody? So I did like 3 months. And what was really neat was the main anchor at the time, the weather guy, took the morning show and let me go back and do nights.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Respect.
Yes.
Show of respect.
Very, very nice of him. Yeah, otherwise, I wouldn't have done
that.
Yeah.
Up early, right?
I didn't know that at the time. Yeah, I filled in for about 3 months.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
That's awesome. Well, it speaks to the level of respect that they have for you, and I think the admiration of the community. I mean, you really people. I've never heard anyone speak ill of you, Skip, and I mean this.
Oh,
I've never heard.
you probably have, but you might have, but I have not. I think you were truly, when you say the word beloved, and I'm not BSing here, I think you were truly a beloved figure in Wichita Falls.
People genuinely liked you. You connected with people. Not just with the weather, but your personality as a whole. I think you connected with people.
Well, when I first started, everybody was saying, try to do this, try to be like this, try to be like this. And I was horrible. And I went home and I told my wife, I said, I don't think I can do this. And she goes, just be yourself.
Yep.
Exactly.
I said, if that doesn't work, we'll go do something else. But she said, just be yourself.
Well, don't you, and I think you'll agree with this, people can sense when you're being genuine.
Absolutely.
And they can sense when you're being,
and they're drawn to it.
When you're being fake,
and they're drawn to it.
When you're just playing a role, or when you're just being yourself.
Yeah.
You know, part of I used John Wayne as an example.
Yeah.
John Wayne was an actor, but John Wayne, in pretty much every role he ever played, was being John Wayne, going by another name as a character. Yeah. He was just being him. And I think that's part of what connected him to people and endeared him to people so much for so many, many decades, is the fact that he was just being himself. He wasn't just playing a role. He was John Wayne as this character.
Rooster Cogburn.
Rooster Cogburn.
And so, I think with you, it's kind of the same thing. You were being yourself. You know, I mean, in all the time that I was doing radio, one of the things that I tried to do, and I got this lesson from someone else in the business outside of the market many years ago, and it was probably the best advice I ever got. He said, don't sit there and just read a script.
Talk.
Have a conversation. He said, pretend that you're sitting behind that microphone talking to one person.
Yep. Yep.
You're having a one-on-one conversation with one person. Put it out of your mind that there's X number of people listening out there. It's one person.
There could be up to 12 people listening.
Exactly. In my case, maybe even 15.
Yeah.
And, my mama, when she was around. God rest her soul.
You know, several family members there. Yeah.
But and I think that was the best advice I ever got, is treat it like you're having a one-on-one conversation and just be yourself.
That is true.
See, I never had to worry about that because my kids, all my family's like, when they're talking, we're ready for me to shut up anyhow. The last thing they want to do is turn the radio on and listen to me. Well, I know we need to wrap down here. But so how do people follow you to get your update, your weather update?
I'm on the web.
On Facebook, yeah.
On Facebook.
Yeah, he's got a lot of friends. I was going to say, we were trying to get your page back, but we never were able to get your page because it still lives out there. So if you're following his page, his personality page. We need to get you another one. We had talked about that because you max out at 5,000 on your friends. Yeah. You got a ton of friends, but you had to redo your whole thing because
have to start all over.
Yeah, his Facebook page is original. Not his personality page, but his original Skip McBride personal page was hacked a couple, two or three times, and eventually the last time we couldn't get it back, so he had to start completely over. So we need to get you a real page, and then get people to follow that, and that way you can post your.
They were mad at me because I missed the forecast.
Yeah. So if you go on Facebook, just
On his personal page for now.
I've only got 350 follow.
Yeah, we need to get that up. We need to get you a new page because I tried to work with I found the social media guy at KFTX, and he was willing to try to figure out how to get that page turned over to you, but he didn't have control of it.
Well, you've been on this podcast now. You're bound to gain at least another six or eight followers. Yeah. I'm telling you. You're going to gain a few more.
But, I want to thank you guys for inviting me in. This
we appreciate you coming in. We really do.
And guess what? Also, one thing that Skip did for me is when we moved into our location here about 7 years ago, we moved in like over a weekend and we didn't have time to do much of anything. But one of the things we needed to do later was do our painting, and he helped paint our store. He came in pizza and Coke. He came in and helped us paint. So if I'd ever thanked you for that, I appreciate you doing that for us.
Man,
he's
a good guy, man.
Versatile, talented guy.
Can tell you the weather and paint at the same time.
One last thing. Willard Scott once taught me that when we did some commercials, and he grabbed me by the hand, and he looked at the camera and he said, a network weatherman and a local weatherman always work hand in hand, but never on the air.
Awesome.
Very good.
Yeah.
Skip McBride, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
I hope you'll join us again sometime soon.
You let me know.
We'd love to have you. It's been a lot of fun. Guys, thank you for joining us for this episode of Get It Right Texoma. Again, it's brought to you by Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles at 401 North Scott in downtown Wichita Falls, EddieHillsFunCycles.com, MacTech Solutions at 4020 Ray Road, MacTech-Solutions.com, and Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop, LPSuite.com.
And stop by and see Skip's paint job.
You can come out and check out his handiwork. You know, maybe you can get him to come over to your place on the weekend.
He works cheap. Pizza and Coke.
Apparently.
Pizza and Coke.
Until next time, guys, take care. We'll see you down the road.